Oh, dude, now is the best time to come.
Is it? I'll be there. So I'm going to Amsterdam, then Berlin, and then Warsaw for like three days, and then we're finishing it off in Prague. So we're gonna meet up. I'm going with my best friend from the military.
Nice.
Want to do jiu-jitsu? Warsaw BJJ. We're all white belts. It'll be fun.
You really got into it, right? I saw
I
you got a
know.
Goku rash guard.
I did get a Goku rash guard. I accidentally got medium, and I'm too fat for it, but I still wore it. But it's fun. I got my ass whooped yesterday. I'm like bruised up here. I think the main thing. I don't love the jiu-jitsu as much as I love the fact that when I'm doing it, I don't think about business. Because if I do, I'll die. It's nice to have like full focus.
I went to a jiu-jitsu class here, and I thought jiu-jitsu was hard, but then I had a jiu-jitsu class in Polish, and that's when I really understood what it's like to be in the beginner mindset to it. Like, honestly, I had no idea what was going on, but it made me, because it was in Polish, it made me pay more attention to the movement. I didn't understand anything, but I could see more. So I was always behind. But I wasn't as behind as I thought I was going to be because I paid attention to the moves.
I think I'm gonna get out of the gi soon because my fingers hurt so bad. I don't know about you, but
I don't like it.
yeah, I liked the gi app for the first like 3 months, but now I'm like, I feel like it's hindering me a little bit because I feel like people who are just far less athletic just get such an advantage. And I'm like, ugh, it's so annoying.
It's very stally.
Yeah.
I mean, like, jiu-jitsu is fun to practice, but have you ever sat through a jiu-jitsu match? Like, long?
It's so boring. Yeah, and like I feel like the first 30 seconds of every roll is just someone grabbing my fucking collar. I'm like it's so annoying. But anyways, yeah, jiu-jitsu has been, I know we haven't recorded in like a month. Jiu-jitsu has been my new thing, but I will be in Warsaw so we can get coffee and stuff.
Yeah, we could do another pod in person, number two.
Yeah, we went to a Polish studio. I actually have my old assistant who is now my ops manager lives in Warsaw too. I feel like I have ties to Warsaw. Mob ties.
It's calling you. Let's go. Yeah, come over, dude. It's awesome. Like, it's really nice. I'll show you around. Back to the pod. It's been a while. The boys are back. I have a new motto. Losers exist. Avoid them. So here's where it came from. I was asked, what's the best way to reduce churn? So I'm doing this weekly revenue thing, and I stopped doing contracts and stuff. Churn can be an issue. So people ask, what's the best way to reduce churn? I said, losers exist. Avoid them. Often we want to take the money because they're like, yeah, I'm going to offer you money now. But we take it and we regret it like a month in or a week in because it's just going to be a nightmare client. And it's so hard to stick to your principles and not take the money. But one bad prospect can change your perspective on the entire industry. I mean, at that, like, you have one bad prospect and they make you want to change industries. You're like, dude,
Yeah.
like, this sucks. Let me go to SaaS.
Maybe like 6 months ago, you could even ask Julia, I was like so on the verge of like breakdown. I was like, I'm gonna shut this shit. I'm gonna shut it all down. I'm moving. I'm going to start an info product. And then I realized what I quickly, luckily realized is it wasn't the business model, it was the client. And I realized I just wasn't setting enough good boundaries and I deserved it because I accepted a client who wasn't ready for us and he just needed too much help. So like it was a learning experience in that except not taking the money just because it's the money. That's one, because the cost of fulfillment is a lot more than just money. It's your fucking energy, your anxiety, like everything, right? Your mental health. So that was one of it. And then the other thing I learned is it wasn't the industry or the model, it was the person and the boundaries. So I feel like the churn thing is actually, I mean, the weekly pricing is probably such a good exercise in getting your time to value down. Like you must have such good like value in what you're doing because if you have weekly pricing, you basically are incentivized to get the person who's buying value right away in that first week, right? So that must be so like in business, there's something called time to value. And typically the number one way to reduce churn is time to value, which is how quickly they realize the money that they paid you, how quickly they make their ROI back. So you must have a really low time to value doing weekly pricing, and it's probably forced you to like speed up how quickly you can get people to get results, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Like, now they asked me a question the other day. which I had like no answer. So I gave them ways to, my way to get time to value is get them their first three clients as quickly as possible. Usually that can happen, right? Often it doesn't. So what do I do then? And I gave them like four things to do, but they didn't close the client after that. They showed up to the call. They're like, JK, I did everything you told me to do. It didn't work. What do I do? And that I had no, I was like dumbfounded. I started saying bullshit. But then another client pitched in and he said, oh, I actually have that problem. Here's how I solved it. And together they gave me the answer. So, you know, shout out to those clients that, you know, make us not say bullshit and help us out. But you said churn. You know, the best way to reduce churn is reduce time to value. You know, the second way to best way to reduce churn, get them to pay in full.
True. Very true.
Yeah, it's just gonna be good. The clients don't fall in love with us, they fall out of love with us. So if you can get a paid in full, it's probably not gonna happen later. It's gotta happen in the beginning. When they are like excited, that's when you hit the timing in which you make asks is supremely important. I've realized that. If I make the timing well in a workshop, I get a bunch of sales. If I get the timing slightly wrong, it's a completely different thing. Timing of when you make an offer varies often as much or is as important as the offer itself in occasion.
Yeah, I agree. Because that's actually something Ryan taught me. Rest in peace. No, just playing.
We could talk about that.
We'll talk about it. Something that he taught me is, and I actually learned this at just a workshop that I went to, is like, for example, even as an agency, right? If my churn or if my LTV is like, call it 10 months, right? It's 10 months is my LTV. But I can get someone to pay for the year for 12 months up front for the price of 11 months. I am now making more than their LTV just by making them pay in full up front. And I'm giving them a 1 month discount, but I'm actually getting more than my LTV up front. So I'm naturally just making my LTV bigger and having a better churn because I made them pay in full, which is exactly what you said, but that's how you would apply it to an agency. And I've did that before because Ryan coached it into me. And I remember I had someone pay for 90 days and instead of, it was like $5,000 a month, but I had them pay, I shouldn't have done this, but I had them pay like $12,000 up front, which is like $4,000 a month. I realistically should have made them pay like $14,000, but I had them pay 3 months up front and it was like, I think that client probably could have churned in 2 months instead. But since he had already paid for three, I got the money in.
Yeah.
Hashtag sales.
What's your money lag? Often I find that my money lag, when you start doing the process of opening, closing, it's like 4 months. That is when nothing happens, maybe for 2 to 3, but in the third or fourth, the lag is over and it just happens. You make a lot of money. Nothing happens for the longest time and then you just wake up rich. So what's your money lag?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, mine is like month intervals. Like I'll have like just looking at my sheets, like I'll have like a month where it's just like no clients added. And then the next month will be like 4 clients added. And I'm like, realistically, if you just stretch it out, it's like 2 clients a month, right? But that's what happens. Because what happens is I'll usually have a bunch of people that are in the sales cycle, just like getting nurture. And then they finally convert, 2 months later. So I think for me, it's like every 60 days, I kind of have a lag. Like right now, I'm going through a moment where it's all pouring in. But I had a probably 30 to 45, 60 day cycle where it was like some of the bad clients are dropping off. And I wasn't getting any new clients. Now, though, I didn't panic or anything because now that I've been in business so long, you, for example, you know now, if you're aware of the lag, you're not going to freak out and try to change everything you're doing because you're not getting sales. You just know in your head, like, this is part of the cycle. So that's kind of a good thing to point out. So maybe someone who's listening could be like, am I going through a lag or do I just suck?
It's usually how you do it, the thing. I tell this to clients. Often people will, let's say you show up to a hospital, right? And you're like, I have a flu, but you also have an arm missing. And you're like, hey, like, I have a flu. Can you help me with my flu? Maybe let's attend to the arm first before we go into the flu. So often they'll show up with the problem. I am not getting good engagement. This prospect didn't get back to me. I didn't know what to say. But I often see, do you have an arm? Are you doing the main thing? So for me, it's like making an offer every day. Are you doing that consistently? Among other things that I check out 5 things that I need to do every day and I give it to them and you're like, do these 5 and then the lag will hit. But often it's like people have an arm missing. They're not making up for every day. They're not posing. They look like carbon copy. Somebody said this in a call today. They try to chat GPT the way into a business. So that's not how it works. And they're missing an arm, but they don't really see it. So it's often, are you doing the main thing? And if the main thing is not being done, then there is no way I can help you with any other thing.
I totally agree. And ever since you said that to me like 3 or 4 months ago, make an offer every day, I was like really trying and I realized I'm like, I just can't fucking do this. So I hired someone. Now they do it for me. So now it's funny. It's like, go ahead.
You have a ghostwriter?
No. I have a sales guy. So he essentially sends outbound. And then when people are into like good prospects are interested, I send them like a Loom video for 3 minutes. And if they're actually interested, we jump on a call. So it's got a really good sales system going now. So now I'm also makes it, it helps me not have anxiety. It's like I know we're making offers to people, so I don't have to worry about, oh, should I be doing sales right now? I am doing sales right now. But if I was a beginner, which is most people listening, I would just be making an offer every day.
You know, like, what? I reject that. It's not most people listening. It's all whales listening, right, boys? They're all rich.
Oh, yeah,
everybody
yeah,
listens to the Lex and Cash podcast is rich. Yes, exactly. We don't do any of that shit.
If you're a beginner, click off and go watch the My First Millions podcast. My bad. Yo. Beef.
Good. Keep name dropping. Go with Huberman. Go watch Joe Rogan. You know, it's good for the algo. Gives us helps.
Go watch TikTok. Go watch TikTok. My bad. Client Ascension.
I'm not going to get into that. Next topic. What do you got? So, dude, you've been posting some awesome screenshots next.
You know, it's funny. I feel like you have a lot of influence in my content strategy because I tried to do like the value-driven content and I was so bored. And now that I just do insight content, it's so fun because I just like screenshot my analytics and I'm like, banger. Like, I don't have to actually put out effort into like I just started writing. You should see my drafts. Actually, let's read my drafts. It'd be hilarious. Let's compare my drafts to my actual content.
I love how your posts are just like screenshots and you're like, what's the insight here? The insight here is that I'm the man.
Yeah. And I started running. I literally got more inbound leads in April/ the end of March than I have all year because I just started ripping screenshots. Oh, man. My drafts are hilarious. So my drafts, right? Let's see. Six features on X you need to know about. 1, timestamps. 2, delegate account. And then I just quit. Next. 10, must follow X accounts if you want to build a personal brand that doesn't suck.
What the fuck, dude?
We generated 4 billion impressions in the last 11 months using 5 content pillars. And then I just stopped. It was like, it was pesto, but I'm just like, let me just try this. And then this is my actual content. Yo, screenshot with 77 million impressions and 19,000 new followers.
There's an important distinction to be made here. When do you give value and when do you give insight? And I had a mental model that cleared it for me. It gave me a lot of peace. Has somebody given you more than $1? If so, value and insight. Has somebody not given you money, then only insight, they don't get value. So what's the difference? Value is showing people what to do instead of showing people where to look. You, on the drafts, you were showing people what to do. Use the pin, timestamps and highlights and whatnot. So people can take that and go, thank you, Marcos. I'm going to use that. I'll implement, get back to you. And they're probably won't. Whereas insight is showing people where to look. You showed that, hey, X is not that. It's getting crazy amounts of impressions. Right? Or maybe you did another one. Sometimes you quote tweet videos of somebody else. It's not because maybe you're interested in that topic, but because you want to show people where to look. Hey, video is a good idea, which by the way, we do for our clients. Do you want a video strategy? Hit me up.
Yeah.
Insight, you know, show people where to look because it creates a gap. When it creates a gap, it relieves tension because they're like, oh, this is an answer. I can find it here. You tell people where the treasure is, but if they want to go there, they got to get paid for the tour guide.
You know what I realized too? It's like, it's super fundamental basics. It's just like, I realize what I'm selling. I'm not selling tactics on how to grow on X because the people who are buying from me don't give a fuck about the tactics. They just want the results. So I realize I'm not selling tactics, and I'm also not selling writing, and I'm also not selling like how to be a cool content creator. I'm selling the platform X, and I'm selling results. So the way to get people onboarded into my product is I am actually just want to promote X as a platform and promote content as a mechanism to make money. Like you're not selling insight-based emails. You're selling clients. You're selling other people clients. You're literally like, here's your next three clients, bro. Here, you want three clients? Here you go. Like you're selling clients. You're not selling. So once I realized that, I'm like, my posts are going to be me flexing results on X, because people will then be like, oh, those results are possible on this platform. And then I'm selling case studies of my clients because they're like, oh, those results are possible. And then I'm also selling X as a platform. So that's why when I quote videos, I'm like, look, this person's doing this video strategy really well. It could work for you if you have a similar business. So that's what kind of, it's like, it's just selling X and my mechanism. I'm not really, I mean, I'm selling the result that I'm providing. So that's, once I learned that, like, really, I'm just like, content became so easy. Like, my last tweet was just, yo, in a screenshot.
two things that I like to add to that. So number one is your clients, because you're a ghostwriter, they're not gonna go, like, usually they make money, right? Like, they make money, not usually, but period, they make money. So they're gonna go to dinner that night. They're not gonna say about, look at this guy's Twitter growth analytics, Twitter growth tactics. They're gonna show it to someone and be like, yo, there's this guy, Marcos. Look at the numbers he's pulling from X. Maybe I've been doing this Instagram thing wrong. I should try this new thing. Like, you gave them insight, which was enough to get them to a purchase. Now, if I could offer some advice, you're free not to take it, but if I could offer some advice, is testimonials perform best for me when you provide context. So I can see those numbers, but when I see it, I might go, but that's 100,000 follower account. Shit don't count. Whereas if you provide how many followers they have, or a statistic that makes them compare themselves to that, they will find out, I have the same amount of followers. I don't have this amount of impressions. What am I lacking? This is why I don't provide any testimonial without context, because everybody wants to compare themselves and see how are they doing. And if you provide the context, it makes a testimonial so much more powerful, because you can put people in that frame and they can see a clear gap.
I'm writing the tweet, doubled this client's audience overnight. So they kind of have context on it. So this client gained 30,000 followers yesterday. He had like 30,000 followers before that. So now it's, I doubled this client's audience overnight. Honestly, I love having clients that already have audiences, but so much better. Because they're just like, it's so much easier. Yeah, look at this live. I'm writing the tweet live. So if you're listening to this, you could see this tweet. We could see, I'll tell you if I get a client on the next one. So funny enough, you're right too, because in my last sales call today, which I closed, he goes,
hell yeah.
I just,
well done.
And it's, yeah. And my content is funny, because my content is also, it's whale bait. Like, the people who follow me are usually like, I'm looking for like big followers, big name followers. The person who closed was like, oh, I saw this, and this person followed you. And my buddy told me to check out your stuff because you get good results. So it was like word of mouth and the social proof of having the followers, the analytics, and the big name followers of like who follows you, not just how many followers you have, all came. That's how this client individually closed. That the last client that closed last week said, oh, my business partner tagged me in your post. That's like, exactly. So like, it's whale bait, man. Whale bait should be, if you take one thing from this podcast, it's got to be whale bait. I feel like it's the best thing you've ever said.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, whale bait, I think, is it has enough nuance so that the right people get it and the wrong people completely misunderstand it.
Yeah.
People think that whale bait is about, I'll give you an example. So there's fish and then there's whales. Fish are people who can't pay, whales are people who pay, right? So people think that whale bait is about, instead of just having, I'm a fitness coach, whale bait is, I'm a fitness coach for seven figures entrepreneurs. They're like, whale bait, bro, seven figures, let's roll. But I believe whale bait is not the stuff you put out. I think whale bait is the person you become. You know what's the best move? Most posts bring you like growth, and it's hard to relate to sales. I'm going to tell you what is the post that has related to the most sales I have ever done, because I know it. It is my path and my code. When I lay out, this is the content creator and this is the cash creator. and I embodied the personality of the cast creator, and I showed them, I fired my team, I split with my business partner, and I'm going solo because I'm not in show business, I'm in business. That's been the post where I've made the most money. People show up to the calls and they reference that post often. Why? Because it was not about putting whale bait. I didn't say, if you make six figures, join. I say, this is me. I become the whale bait and you attract people towards you. Whale bait is not something you put out, it's something you become. But because most people don't have confidence in the process, they don't have confidence in who they are and they don't believe in themselves, they can't because they're a copy of somebody else. And this is why they fail. Because the problem is not the whale bait. The problem is they themselves do not believe in them. And that bleeds into the content. That's why they don't make money.
And how do you feel now that you're kind of solo? Solo dolo. Do you feel free?
Not yet. Can I be real? Not yet.
Why?
It's a lot of work.
Fair.
Right now, it's like I have the habit of going all in, right? No boundary setting. But now, you know, I believe to get to six figures, you need to do more. To get to seven, you need to do less. What I need to learn is discipline and establishing boundaries and not being on this little shit all day. So I'm learning as I go because now I don't have that business partner, but it is something I'll work towards.
From a practical standpoint, are you looking into or like how do you utilize automation and AI to really like lighten the workload for you? Like, do you use like a lot of Zaps? Like, how do you operationally do stuff? Is everything manual or is that something you're thinking about?
90% manual. The only thing that's automated is like capturing emails and taking them to ConvertKit and like a Zapier that notifies me of when I get a payment. And I guess charging recurringly, I think those are the main ones that I have automated, but everything else is manual. I don't do it. Christian does it, who's my VA. But it's like, you know, it's very repetitive. Just do this, do that. I don't use AI at all, like in my business, not that much. Usually what I use AI for is I found this ChatGPT, you take a picture of your food, it counts your calories and macros. That's my main use of AI.
Nice.
But not really. Yeah, thank you.
So what's your solo cash creator tech stack? Zapier, ConvertKit.
Okay, so socials, free. Then ConvertKit and Card. Card hosts the website. ConvertKit gets the emails.
Your website's on Card?
My website's on Card.
Looks really good. I thought it was like ClickFunnels or something.
The payment one is ClickFunnels. So Card is the one that's free, but I found ClickFunnels was kind of unreliable to get emails because the link would just kind of not work. So it gets to ConvertKit. ClickFunnels is where people pay because it's just helpful to combine it with Stripe. And people then go to school. And if people want better access, they go to Slack. And everything else is Google Suites. So I sell with a Google Doc, I present with a Google Doc, and I do Zoom. So that's the cash creator tech stack. ConvertKit is like 30 a month. Card is 19 a year. ClickFunnels is 97 a month. Stripe is based on fees. Zoom is like 50 a month, I think. And I think that's it.
And where do you host your community?
School. I host it on school. It's thanks, Marcos. What is it, like 99 a month?
I can't believe you did not use my affiliate link after all this time.
Ryan created it. I'm gonna use that light in the post. Ryan created
all right.
It.
Yeah. I was just that, which, well, that leads us into, well, so what's your software overhead? Like $400 maybe?
Yeah. But the Stripe fees make it larger. But if you take that out.
You can't use Stripe fees. Yeah. That's not fixed.
Yeah. It's like 500, I guess.
And what are you allowed to say how much you pay your VA?
Yeah. 1500.
Nice. So 2K a month is your overhead for your entire business. That's amazing.
We went from $59,000 in lending cost to 2K. Just me and the VA. It was a big transition, dude. Like it was big.
It's like Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Because the thing about him, dude, Christian, like shout out to that guy. He's known me for what, like 9 years now? He knows that I contradict myself. He knows that I can get emotional. He knows that there's some days where he should not listen to me because I'm not in my state of mind. So he'll hit me up the next day. He's like, JK, I know you said this yesterday, but like, did you really bid it? Did you really want me to do this? I'm like, no, I'm not really. Okay, great. Like, he understands me because, like, we type, you know?
Did you keep all of the, like, trainings and SOPs that you had for him? Like, how do you train him? Or do you just train him on calls? Like, what if he quits?
I'm fucked.
Yeah. I'm just projecting my own anxiety on you.
What's going on? You're going to switch VAs or something?
No, I just think to myself, like, man, if like, Sonya quits, I really need to work on these SOPs because I don't want to have to trade them for 25 hours in a row. So I just think to myself, man, I should really, I create a lot of trainings, and they have helped. Like when, like, for example, I just hired a third writer, that was helpful to have stuff. But I, to be fair, I was just like, I just told one of my older team members to train them. So I guess that works.
Let's talk about writing. What is an underrated aspect that you look for in writing? And I'll give you mine later.
Oh, I have an easy one. The number one thing now that I look for in a good writer, and the number one thing that is going to, and when I talk a good, I'm talking like knows how to write just things that go viral, because the number one thing is being a consumer. So if you consume the content that you then need to write, you will be better at writing it. Like, you will know, you have an eye. It's almost like you kind of know, you know, it's the energy, man. Like if you consume the way, like the kind of content that we create, you will be a great writer, because I could quickly teach you the tactics and how to like take out the fluff and stuff like that, but I can't teach someone how to have the eye. So you have to have the eye, which means you have to be a fucking consumer. It's kind of like, you know, what Stephen King says, if you want to write well, you have to read a lot. It's the same thing with tweets. If you want to write good tweets, you got to be able to read a lot of good tweets. That's pretty much it.
Well, there you go. So guys, if anybody wants to work with Marcos, now you know. The minimum requirement to work with Marcos is to have a 12-hour screen time on your phone. If you don't have that, not qualified. Don't even apply. Sorry.
That is the minimum requirement. If you don't do that, you die.
There you go. Mine is honesty. If a writer is honest, that gives me a lot. I love this quote by Nassim Taleb. I've read Anti-Fragile. Guys, for the first time in 2 years, I finished a book.
What's the book called?
Fucking bit of voice. Anti-Fragile.
Anti-Fragile.
I enjoyed it a lot, you know, and it was not an autobiography like usual. So it was actually like concepts.
Interesting.
Anyway, he had an awesome quote. He said, marketing, you're probably not going to like this, but marketing beyond conveying information is insecurity. And that shit hit me. It hit me so hard, dude. I thought every time I'm stuck writing, it's because I'm not being honest. I'm not conveying information. I'm manipulating information. My best sales pages are when I say, this is how much we made. This is how much you can expect to make. And this is the path I'll take you through. Numbers, statistics, no exaggeration. All conveying information. My worst sales pages have been the revolutionize, change, the best,
yeah,
the worst. When I convey information, it hits. When I manipulate information, it doesn't hit. So an underrated trait, I don't work with writers. I mean, some writers are clients, but it's not like I hire writers. But like that I look for when I write is, am I just being honest? And often when I'm not, it feels so icky and it doesn't sell. Because marketing beyond conveying information is insecurity. So good by that guy. I love it.
Hell yeah. That's fire. Honestly, like that kind of goes back to what we just said. Like, it's so much easier for me to just take a screenshot of the analytics and be like, hey, this is what we do. If interested, polls, DM me. Please, Uwu, DM me if you want analytics like this. It's so much easier than being like, this many features, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Makes you want to puke. I hate it.
Imagine if you posted that same screenshot, but you changed the caption and you said, this client went viral and you followed common value giving advice. Let me show you the exact 3 hook templates we used. Who do you think you're going to attract? Other competition, not the guys you want. So maybe giving value is not the answer. Maybe giving insight is the answer.
Yeah, I agree. What's next?
What is next has been, I don't know. Let me see what I've...
Speaking of school, I was just in Los Angeles at the school headquarters.
Oh, how was it?
I feel like we haven't talked in so long. It was cool. It was. It made me jealous. I was like, this is the coolest office I've ever seen. It's like a giant dinosaur and then like a zebra and then like an astronaut. And then there's like a giant grand piano. And then there's just like a giant school sign and a couch. And then they have an entire room filled with like play balls. You know, the ball pits from when you were a kid. It's like...
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. It's honestly a really funny office. They have a giant school bus in the back. I'm like, what is happening?
So did you meet Alex and Sam?
So I met Sam at the headquarters and a couple of the team members there. We had lunch, and honestly, pretty cool. They're very dialed in. It's like the exact opposite of Money Twitter. It's just like guys building cool stuff and like really focused, which is really cool to see. I love it. I definitely liked it a lot. They were cool. They really enjoyed. We talked about.
What is one thing that, because you were close to somebody who, I think it's strange to say he's world class at what he does. What is one thing you perceive or learn, maybe that he said or that you watched him do?
I think it was almost no interest in anything other than school. Like talking about non-school related stuff, like no, almost no interest. Anything related to school, amazing conversation. So that was one thing, like in terms of just like interest and focus, it isn't like a facade. Like it's actually like that. It just doesn't want to talk about anything else. I think that's part of it. I also think like the dedication to doing the most simple shit. Like it's kind of like you, very simple. Like he wants to keep everything so simple with school, very deliberate. Like you can tell they don't add like so many features to the platform. It's so simple. That's the point. Like the point is that he even asked me, they just added like pixel tracking for ads. And he was asking me, he's like, oh, do you know like this, that, and the other pixel? I'm like, nope. And he goes, see, like they're not going to, like, I don't even know if anyone's going to use it. He like really doesn't want to add features that nobody's going to use. He's because he wants it to be the, like so simple. So I think simplicity and focus, which is probably good because that's like the theme of this podcast, is definitely something I learned from it, but like at an extreme level, like a level I've never seen before.
That makes my heart happy. That makes me smile. I love it. Question. I have that. When people don't talk about the things I'm interested in, like I just turn off. My girlfriend says I make a dog face. I go like, I kind of turn it. Right? But when that happened, how did he transition to speaking about the things he liked?
What do you mean?
I mean, let's say you were talking about fucking dinosaurs, right? And you can see that you're kind of turning him off. How did he transition the conversation back to the things he actually liked? I have the problem with people, dude. I'm like, I understand soccer is important for you, but I do not want to talk about this.
It wasn't him. It was me. I'm a socially aware person, so I can tell when someone's engaged in a conversation. So me personally, I purposely try to steer the conversation to something that I know everyone at the table can enjoy. Maybe that's just like a social awareness thing. Like I knew that he'd be interested in talking about school. And if I'm sitting next to someone that's, 100x my net worth, I want to have a conversation with him. So I pushed the conversation to school-related features and stuff because I wanted him to be in the conversation. I'd say, like, the only thing that we talked about that wasn't school-related was kind of, like, this, like, Elon Musk stuff. But, like, everyone wants to talk about Elon Musk because Elon Musk. So, yeah, I think that's, like, a social awareness thing. I think some people, it is annoying. Like, they're just talking your ear off about shit you don't care about and they have no social awareness to shut just like move on. But yeah, skill issue.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Now I know. I just need to get more marketers around me. That's the insight of today's podcast.
Insight, have social awareness. Be an IFP.
Yeah. All right. So let me see. What do I have on my calendar that we can talk about? Dude, I realized that we often ask every day to people who don't trust us to give us money, yet we don't do that with the people who do. Every day we make offers to people who have never paid us, yet we never go to our clients and ask them, would you like to pay me more for a different kind of access? We don't do that. As somebody joins or becomes a client and we're like, okay, done, like this is how much you're going to pay. But I realized that I don't have to play that game. So here's what I did. I got maybe like 15 people, I thought, inside Cash Creators. I thought, yeah, you guys, like, you could do way more money than you're currently making. And I crafted up a quick Google Doc with a different offer. Instead of whatever I'm pricing that at the time, this one I priced it to twice as much. And I said, hey, I'm creating this thing. This is the promise. Would you like the invite? Yes. I sent over the Google Doc. By the time I was done, within a week, I had 4 people join on this new offer with 1.4x to double their LTV just from me making an ask. Often we have people that have already given us money and it's foolish because we don't think about it, but we just don't ask them, hey, would you like something else? So I just thought that was foolish of me and something I wanted to change going forward. If people gave you money already, if people became a client, that doesn't mean they can't become a bigger client. And we leave a lot of money on the table just by not knowing when, what, or even if, or whether to ask. We just don't ask. And I think that we should be asking more.
You should call that the waiter model or the waitress model. Because, like, whenever you're at a drive-thru, they always say anything else at the end. And I guarantee you that was, that's, or you call it the McDonald's strategy or something, or the drive-thru strategy. Because every time you're at a drive-thru, they say anything else, anything else. And I'm like, actually, now that you ask, now that you mention it, I'm going to have this too. And then you pretty much increase your order value by like 20%.
I've fallen into the funnel, man. I've fallen into the funnel. You know, I was in Cyprus last weekend because I had to go out of Poland to like reset my visa. So I had to get out of the Schengen area. So I saw some options and Cyprus actually looked really nice. Dude, Cyprus is one of the prettiest countries on earth. Like, it's so beautiful. Crystal clear waters, awesome food.
It's an island, right?
Insane amounts of cheese. Halloumi cheese. Yeah, it's an island. Dude, it's so good. It's full of cats for some reason as well. But here's the thing. I went to this boat because I wanted to go on a boat, right? I go with my girl. And I'm like, okay, so how much is this boat? And they're like, what was it? I don't know. It was a certain fee if you want a captain to go with you. And they said, but we can teach you a mini course on how to run the boat on your own. And it's this much fee. Would you like to do that? I'm like, dude, I can learn pilot a boat on the Mediterranean on my own. And you'll let me do this for 3 hours? They said, yes. Dude, they taught me how to pilot a boat. They taught me how to pilot the boat. They told me how to park it, go in reverse, how to find areas where to throw the anchor, how to throw the anchor, how to do a knot so that it won't like drift away, what angle to put it in, how to pick it back, where to put it, how to drive back, how to differentiate between like parking in a rock, in a reef, and on the sand. And it was awesome, bro. But I would have never known that was an option if people didn't ask. So another takeaway from this podcast, go to your clients now, see who has potential and is in the capability to pay for something more from you and find out what else can you sell and ask them if they want it. There is a non-zero chance that you can double that client's value if you just ask them, would you like to go on the boat on your own? And they're probably saying yes.
You can use that same strategy to increase your LTV too. Something that we do in our calls with clients, or, and by we, I mean me, is I always ask clients at the end of our weekly call, I always say, is there anything else, like anything else on your mind, anything I can help you with? Is there any questions you have? And you usually can just get ahead of requests and get ahead of things they need to fix their business and get ahead. Like for me, you know, if a client, if I go, oh, is there anything else I can help you with? Or is there anything else that you have a question about? They'll ask me a question about, I don't know, Instagram or something, right? And I can actually, most of the time, I'd say more often than not, I have a resource that I can point them to or a solution directly for them. And I basically just add, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 of value by saying, do you have any other questions or you have anything else? And naturally, people will stay with me longer. And I'd say more than half of my clients say that one of their favorite things about our service is that we offer more than just our service, is that we offer advice and consulting. So I think you can actually add that to the LTV, even if you're doing weekly group coaching calls or anything like that, just saying, is there anything else I can help you guys with? Is there anything that's in your business broken? Stuff like that. So not only can you add sales, but you can also add LTV on the back end.
I like it. I'll add one thing on top of that. You can ask, do you want help with? Or you could straight up ask, which part of this feels off or incomplete? Which part of this do you not understand? Which part of this do you think you could add? Where you ask which, what, how, when, where. Like you, when you ask a, not a yes or no question, but they need to reply with something, it often gets you the answer you want.
Yeah.
It's just like a something else you could do.
Definitely. Definitely. How has it been? I know you're just changing speeds here now that we're kind of toning it down. How has it been with the travel and stuff, being in Europe and stuff? You're officially a European man. And I'm going to be in Europe, just so you know. I'm going to be in London and Ireland 2 weeks from now. And then next month, I will be in Amsterdam, Berlin, Warsaw, Prague. So I'm going to 6 countries in the next 2 months in Europe. And I'm going to see you, hopefully. I want to know, how is the European life being a cash creator?
The internet is the best place to make money. Europe is the best place to spend it.
I love that. You should tweet that. Tweet that right now.
Already did. It's scheduled. Yeah, let's go with a bunch of pictures. But yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is scheduled. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect. That's a great
couple of things to say in this podcast I wrote before. Honestly.
That's a tweet.
Yeah, actually. Dude, so nice. Like, It's wild to me how Europeans think about traveling. They're like, they can get on a, you know, it's like you think about, I don't know, go to Tampa, right? They're like, oh, we could go to Paris and they could just get on a plane, be there in a few hours. It's like, oh, let me go to Cyprus. And there was like Lebanon right there, you know, or it's wild to me how they think about it. But I like that they just slow down, man. Like, I like the speed. Like, I'm
it's
not
the
a,
energy,
not
man.
A, I was, yeah, it's the energy, bro. But I wasn't designed to live in a New York, Miami kind of place, which no, but
I'm out of here.
I'm not that guy, you know. Wait, you're not in Miami?
No, I'm in Miami, but I want like some land. I want land and I want slow down. I like both. I want the best of both worlds. I just have to get richer so I can have both. I want warmth city and I want woods, lake, etc. And I want Italian bungalow in Sardinia. So we simply just have to have the fuck you number.
Fun fact, you're already rich enough to get all of that.
True. Very true. You know what's funny? I've like always wanted to be a dual citizen just because I feel like I got indoctrinated by the passport bros like last year. Where I'm like, I need like 18 passports, bro. It's easier for you to laugh. You already have multiple passports. But I've
bro,
always wanted to be a
dual
citizen.
You have the American passport. You won the game.
I want a European passport too. I've always wanted to have both. So just in case like the world falls apart.
You don't have Puerto Rican? Or is that American?
It's American, yeah.
Okay.
But Julia, she qualifies for Italy. So I'll qualify one day.
Is that date closed?
What'd you say? No, that gate's not closed yet, but it's closing.
Okay, sorry, I had to get out of here. Well, dude, it's nice. I can't, my day is, there was this palace in Poland that's kind of like, they call it the Royal Baths, something like that. But that's where the kings live. Now it's a national park. It is like 10 minutes away of walking from my house, which also is between me and my gym. So every day, I literally get to walk like the Polish kings walk. In the middle of the park through this scenery, and there's like little lakes and stuff. There's this little cafe where they give you like coffee and ginseng, and you can see, you know, 80-year-old grandma sit there and have their cigarette, and then I go to train and come back feeling good. I think you're gonna like it. I'll show you around.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've only been to like London and Paris for like a day, and I was in Frankfurt for like 6 hours, so I haven't really been like Eastern Europe, and I'm excited for Eastern. I heard, it's funny, I just heard something where they said Poland is like best country in Europe right now. It's like the most, it's got everything of like the old time Europe, but it's like up to date for like new school. That's, people are saying Warsaw is the place to be.
Well, I'm here and I agree. No, obviously I'm biased, but it's
yeah,
just really
you
nice.
Are.
Is it you and Julia or just here?
No, it's me and my friend from the military. She's going to be on a retreat in Morocco. And in France, the south of France, she's doing a retreat with a bunch of her business girlfriends. So I was going to go to, we were actually going to do Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa this summer. But then I was like, why don't we just push it up and then do like Eastern Europe instead? So I'm going to do like 3 to 4 days Amsterdam, 3 to 4 days Warsaw. And then we'll probably do like 2 days in each of Prague and the other one, Berlin. I don't know.
Cool.
Be fun. Why not? I feel like Berlin, you just see the Berlin Wall and then you leave. So
yeah, there's not much to see in Warsaw. I think Warsaw is a place you live in, not like tourist in for long.
Warsaw, I want to stay a little longer just because you're there and I have an employee there. So I was like, it feels like a good place to like slow down the trip a little because it's only 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, it feels nice. You know, I always have to go to cities because I was in Guatemala. Who the fuck is in Guatemala? But now people are coming here. You know, I've met Ryan here. Now you're going to come here. It's nice to be in a major city now.
Hell yeah. Well, when's our next pod? JK, just so you guys know, this is all JK's fault that we haven't had an episode. He is always switching around the schedule because he's the busiest one-person business of all time.
Dude, it was a big transition. I was missing. I was a businessman doing business.
Yeah. I'm a businessman who is doing lots of business.
All right. So far, probably, we could do the 17th.
10 a.m. Eastern.
Let's do 5:30 Poland, which is -6. So is it, what, like 11, I think? 11:30? Can you do 11:30?
Yep, I just sent you the invite.
All right.
There we go.
So there you go, making me commit live.
We're committed. We're committed.
But yeah, I saw it. Yeah, that actually fits perfectly in the schedule. Great, awesome.
We're so back.
We're so back. So I'll see you in the next one. And next time, let's bring some normal material so we don't keep bullshitting about stuff.
They like this. They like it this way. They like it this way.
The original ones like it, hopefully.
Yeah, the OGs.
All right, friends.
All right, see you. Boom.
Till the next one.